Have you ever found it hard to trust in the things of the Lord when they don't make sense? When they don't make sense. There are those times, my friends. And again, if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Father, we love you. I thank you, God, for this day. Father, for the way that you have provided. Father, I thank you, God, for each individual that's here this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to proclaim the word of God. I ask now, Lord, that you would give me the words to say. Father, give me the right spirit to say them in. Father, help the ears of the hearers to understand what you have for them this morning. And we'll be sure to give you the thanks and praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. They don't make sense many times because we're trying to trust in and of ourselves. As individuals, families in a church, you know, over this past year, we have truly experienced some things that just don't make sense. We can't understand them in our finite minds. We can't understand them in our reasoning, in our understanding. But God calls us to trust Him. We live in a world that's riddled by sin, and we're contained in this flesh. Flesh that sins, flesh that makes wrong choices, flesh that questions and can lose hope. But thanks be to God, our spirits can prevail, and in all things we can trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This morning, I just want to take a few moments and talk about some things to remember when we face these times in our life. Roman numeral number 1 says, realize we're not alone. We are not alone in this journey called life. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Realizing we're not alone in this walk. Who tries to tell us that we are? First of all, the devil. His greatest tactic during hard times is to make you feel that you're all alone. It's then that he can wreak havoc on your mind. He can wreak havoc on your body. And my friends, many times, if we're not careful, he can wreak havoc on our faith. Isolation is that playground that he loves. And if he can get us to that point where we feel isolated in and of ourselves, that's a field day for him. He hates the children of God. And many times I think we try to make it and we try to pretty it up, but my friends, he hates the children of God. And where does he love to have you? He loves to have you in that isolation booth that we put around ourselves thinking nobody else is around but me. He'll do his best to pull your focus from God and focus on the misery of life. But in verse 10, but the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. My friends, we do go through things in life. We do go through times in life that are hard. But for the child of God, we read there in verse 10 that he will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. And he will settle you. My friends, today there is true hope in Jesus Christ. The enemy's going to fight. The enemy's going to be there. He is going to try to win. And we've all been there. And my friends, I can't say that I've been there in the same realm that you have been. Because we have faced some major, major tragedies in these past months. But my friends, that promise is good for you as it is for the one who has hit the hardest road that there is to walk, that there is true hope in Christ. So the devil loves to make us feel like we're alone. But my friends, sometimes our flesh can too. If we allow self to come in, we can take our eyes and fixate them on ourselves. Nobody's been there before. Nobody's felt my pain. Nobody has felt my grief. Nobody has felt my sorrow. Now, I'm not going to ask for hands, but have you ever been there? Have you ever really been there? You know, the old nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. That it's a long and lonely road that I've been called to tread. Have you ever felt like that? And I think most of us, if not all of us, have to say at some point in time that we have felt all alone because of our self-imposed sentence on our life. Oh, we lean to the self-help. You know, don't bother anyone. We're going to walk the valley alone. But my friends, worry, this lack of trust, this worry is a thief. And this thief desires to rob you of your strength. This thief desires to rob you of your emotions. This thief desires to rob you of your enjoyment. This thief desires to rob you of your faith. Hebrews 11:1, and I did not give this to the sound booth, but it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that verse really has hit me the past few days, because this past couple weeks has just been, I don't know, probably more self-imposed than anything else. But you know, the hardest thing is, the worry comes in when I want to see that substance of things hoped for. I want to see that evidence of things unseen. I like control. I like knowing what is happening, what's going to happen, and in the future. I want to know. But my friends, the more we desire that, the further we find that we walk away from faith. Because faith says not everything is to be in our here and now, in our minds.
and in our knowledge.
My friends, because then there'd be no place for faith. Because faith is the substance. It's the makeup of those things that we hope for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It's trust. When things don't make sense, trust. The evidence of things not seen. The very things most of us worry about are a part of God's plan for our walk in faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 26 through 28. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. But if you ever found yourself in life just doing that toiling, doing that spinning, trying to figure it out, you just worry and you concentrate and you think, I've got to have control of this. I've got to have control of this. I've got to have control of this. But my friends, do you ever go in the field? Do you ever drive maybe down the countryside? And do you see the flowers of the fields going, where's the water? Where's the water? And jumping around. No! Then why do we do it? And it says, are we not much better than they? Are we not much better than they? Am I making, where's my microphone? I did have it on. I know I had it on at one point or another. Well, that's a difference in sound, isn't it? Yeah. Do you notice how my big mouth, though? You don't even need a microphone. Love you, Pastor Mott. You know, probably not the most spiritual person in the world to quote, but Irma Bombeck says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Now, how many, I will ask for raised hands, how many of you have found that to be true? It does give you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Have you ever found yourself worrying because you found yourself with nothing to worry about? Think about that. Maybe about Thursday afternoon, that's going to become reality to some of you. When you're just sitting there and you're thinking, life's good. Everything looks great. You know, I feel at peace. Oh, something must be wrong I'm not thinking of. Don't we do that, though? Do we not do that? Because that is our flesh. That is our self who can make us feel all alone. So the devil, his great tactics, our self and our great tactics, but others can do it too. And I thought about this, and I really contemplated if I should even say anything. But, you know, it many times it's unintentional. It is not intentional at all, but they can make us feel alone. They don't know what to say when we've gone through a tragedy. They don't know what to do. They may not even know how to look at you. And many times we find ourselves, when we feel like that about someone, we don't even do anything then. We always hope that maybe someone else will take care of that need. Maybe somebody else that has faced similar situations, that has faced those same circumstances. But others can make us feel like we are all alone. Just a word of advice, I know. And like I said, I haven't faced the catastrophic tragedies that some have. But my friends, sometimes it's not always found in the words that someone says. But it's just that being there for someone else. Maybe it is that handshake. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Or maybe it's just somebody simply saying, I'm praying for you. We can so easily find ourselves isolated. We can find ourselves so alone when we're going through things that don't make sense. But today, my friends, God's word assures us that we are never alone. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, my friends, as the child of God, we have that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have a friend that at all times, we never have to worry if the time is good to call him. We never have to worry, is he too busy and I don't want to bother him. But sometimes we can find that we treat God just like we treat our earthly friends. But he desires for us to seek him because we are never, ever, ever alone when we know Christ. God does know what we're going through. Before we were even created, he knew the consequences of man's sin. And that's why we face these circumstances. Sin brought hardship. Sin brought heartache. Sin brought despair. It brought hurt and it brought death. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And we're reminded that there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with all the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That is a promise of God. But my friends, in order to obtain those promises, we have to submit ourselves to the promise giver. He is so good to us. Woodward Kroll, and I'm not usually a quote person, but I found myself looking up a lot of quotes to go with this. And this one I thought was good. Woodward Kroll says, you are never alone when you are alone with God. You are never alone when you are alone with God. With that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it calls us to remember the promises. Roman numeral number 2. Remember the promises. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 reminds us that God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that there are times when that is the greatest hope we can hold on to. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No conditions. Think back over your own life. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe before you became a Christian and even after you became a Christian, that you have just done some things that if you were God, you would have left you high and dry? I know I've been there. I've done some things that have just crushed my spirit. I have done things that has caused me to build up that wall between God and myself. But my friends, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of that wall that I build up, he has never left me and he has never forsaken me. And my friends, that promise is true for you today. God's love is secure. It keeps, it maintains, it comforts, and it is everlasting. And we know in these promises by his word that he hears us. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. If you would leave that up there for just a few moments. And I believe if we're honest, we would believe that for all of us, that there's times where our prayers, we felt that they've been unheard and unresponded to. But this verse, if we look at it, I think it gives a good breakdown on a process of prayer. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Where is our focus? Is our focus on the circumstances? Is our focus on self? Is our focus on what we don't have? Or is our focus looking unto the Lord? Are we willing to wait? Or if we voice that prayer just for the sake of wanting out of that situation? Well, if I just say this quick prayer, it should be all over. But my friends, we need to wait on God. Are we looking unto Him? And then it says, my God will hear me. My friends, He does hear us. He hears us. We know He hears us, and we know that He loves us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, I never thought in all my life I'd ever use a scripture from Zephaniah. But today's the day. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Not only does He hear us, He loves us. I do believe that if we could just grasp the love that Christ has for us, it would truly transform our outlook. The hardest reason for understanding God's love, I've heard this, I've read this, and I'll be honest, I felt this, is because we try to equate the love of God with the love of people. You know, they say many times that a father-child relationship will many times be reflected in our Heavenly Father-child relationship. But my friends, we do need to come past that. And we need to realize the absolute love that God has for us. The strong love, the everlasting love, that unconditional love, that it's not based on what we do, how we perform, how we look, how we talk, how we act. But my friends, His love is everlasting. It's solidified when we come to Calvary. It is solidified. That when we face those hard times, and you know what? Maybe we've screwed it up. Maybe we've caused that hard time. Maybe we've caused that situation. But my friends, He is a Father that loves us so much that when we come to Him, He just picks us up and He says, it's okay, son. It's okay, daughter. I love you so much. Nothing will ever break that bond of our love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He calls us to repentance. But through it all, He loves us like no one else can love us. His is a different love, a true love, a pure love, an unconditional love. A love not bound by emotions or present situations. So we know in His Word that He hears us. We know in His Word that He loves us. And we know in His Word that His strength is for us. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. My strength. In Him will I trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation. And my high tower. The strength that we expend, if you will, trying to do our own things in our own way. But my friends, why do we do that? When it says He is our rock, He's a sure foundation, one that cannot be moved, cannot be shaken, it cannot be broken down. He is our firm salvation. He is that rock. He is our fortress, that safe place of escape. He is our deliverer, our rescuer. He is our God. He is all we need. He is our strength. He's that muscle when we need to fight. But oh, my friends, don't we always go to our own strength many times in our life? Oh, I'll fight it out. But He says, I'm your strength. He's our buckler. That's a shield to protect us. He is the horn of our salvation. Do you ever read a passage like this and again just think, why do I spend all my time, all my energy, all my fortitude when God says, I'm there for you. I'll fight for you. I am your rock. You know, we're so quick. We teach the kids about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when those rains came tumbling down, the rock stood firm. But why is that when we turn 15, 20, 40, 70, 80 years old in our life, all of a sudden it's like that song is no longer. If we build our life upon the rock of our salvation, my friends, the storms of hell cannot break what God has for His child. So we see that by His word, He hears us. He loves us. His strength is for us. And I thought, another quote, Michael Youssef. And this really got to me this morning. He says, remembering His promises, not only strengthens us, but can help to shape others. When your children see us clinging to the promises of God, they will grow up trusting in His goodness. And I have to say, it was kind of ironic, if you will, though nothing's ironic with God. But Drew likes to sleep in the morning. That kid does not get up in the morning for nothing. And it's usually a fight getting dressed for church. But I wrote that, and I put that down, and it wasn't but mere minutes that he came out into the family room about an hour and a half before he normally gets up. And he crawled up in my lap, and I thought, God, help me never to forget those promises, because I want this young man to grow up trusting in your goodness. Because I can get blindsided. I can look. I am the prime example of looking to the left and looking to the right and not keeping my eyes focused on what God has. I'm good at that, my friends. But I need to learn as a father. I need to learn as a husband. I need to learn as a church member. I need to learn as a coworker. I need to learn as a friend. To keep my eyes focused, to keep them fixated on what God has for me and for my family, for our church and for my place of work, for our society and for our world. My friends, all you have to do is pick up the newspaper, turn on the news, and it's very evident that our focus is nowhere near fixated on what God would have for us. But where does it start? It starts with you and each of us as individuals. Oh, we can go shame, shame, shame on all the world. We can go shame, shame, shame on our government. We can go shame, shame, shame on world leaders. But where's your focus? Where's my focus? Because individually, we can make the difference. Because then we come together corporately in one accord. And my friends, we can affect this world for Jesus Christ. And lastly, Roman numeral number 3, we need to trust Him. When things don't make sense, trust. Psalm 20. Turn with me if you would there. Psalm chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God, of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offerings or burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because they are brought down and fallen. But my friends, we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. My friends, if we could just grasp that, that the world, the money, fame, recognition, none of that is going to do it when things don't make sense. Because material things someday will be gone. Money will run dry. Others will leave us. Positions may be lost. And someday our name's going to be merely a memory. But my friends, we need to remember the name of the Lord our God. That is the one legacy that we can leave. That is the best heritage that we can give to others. That is the best that we can leave our children. We can leave our families. We can leave to others. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Because, my friends, in this flesh, in this world, it's not always going to make sense. I wish there was some magical cure we could give. I wish that there was that dust that we could just brush on. I wish that there were those prayer hankies that you can anoint and, man, it makes everything good. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But my friends, we know that we live in a world that's not perfect. And we know circumstances are still going to happen. We know that situations are still going to arise. But my friends, we have a God who knows us. He hears us. He cares for us. There's a song, Scott Wesley Brown. You have faced the mountains of desperation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies coldly before you casts a shadow you cannot overcome. And just when you thought you had it all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time the sorrow broke more than just your heart. And reciting all those verses just won't do. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. And if we could get to this point, instead of asking why did it happen, think of where it can lead you from here. As your pain is slowly easing, you find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer. And when your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge, when answers aren't enough, He is there. Maybe today you need to come to Christ. Musicians, if you come forward, maybe it's a case of you know Christ, but things just haven't been making sense to you. Maybe you need to come today and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to guarantee you it's going to happen again and again and again, that you're going to need to come to that altar of trust. But God knows, and He's made a way of escape. He's made a way to help us through. Or maybe today, under the sound of my voice, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you would say today, it doesn't make sense. The things that have happened doesn't make sense. But maybe today you're saying, you know what, this coming to Christ doesn't make sense. Check your hearts, my friends. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Trust Him as your provider. Trust Him as the one that can save you. Trust that He is the one who gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friends, today there's two decisions. When things don't make sense, you can continue in the pity. You can continue in the heartache. You can continue in the sorrow. Or my friends, you can come and you can say, God, once again, I'm giving it to you. Maybe you gave it to Him yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. But my friends, God, His mercies are new and fresh every single morning. We serve a wonderful God who desires to meet with you. Stand with me if you would, please.